Our reading this morning comes from Paul's instructions to the Colossians, chapter 3, starting at verse 15 and going on to verse 1 of chapter 4. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And here are Paul's instructions for Christian households. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven.
The problem with preparing services and then sitting in a congregation as you're listening to what's going on and other people are praying and so on, thoughts and ideas come to you which weren't there in the first place, which can be a little bit problematic. One of the things that really struck me as we were hearing Malcolm and Sue pray was almost the weight of things, how vast the needs are in the world and how it... Everywhere you look, there seems to be something that needs to be done. And here are we. How are we going to make any difference to any of that? We're praying. Okay, but what can we do? And that made me remember a thing that an American... I shouldn't say that. He would be really upset if I said that. A Methodist writer and preacher called Colin Morris, who was writing about the big social issues, and he said, the important thing when facing all of these things is to take hold of the nearest edge. In other words, the bit closest to you, do something about that. And that really, I think, fits with that, our theme. We're going through, you know, the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, their frontline series of how we live our lives today as Christian people. And today, it's about whatever we do. And it is about taking hold of that nearest edge. What's the closest thing to us? And you might then say, well, okay, what is the closest thing to us when it comes to our life? Well, that's where the scripture comes in. That's where that passage from Colossians comes in, because it talks about church. We're all here now. It talks about family. It talks about work or the wider world where we're all at. And so there's that. We think instantly, this is absolutely fantastic. We're all right now. The Bible's going to tell us everything we should do. And then we actually read it, and we think, hang on, how does that fit today? How does that work with us? How does that relate to whatever we're doing as people? Well, I want to suggest, as you'd expect I would suggest, otherwise I'd just have to sit down straight away, that it does make a difference, and there is something, there. In fact, there's quite a lot that's said there that's going to be quite helpful to us. And it actually, it centres around the fact that if we're going to be on the front line, if we're going to be people who are taking hold of the nearest edge, we need to be people who do this. Let the peace of Christ rule. That's the main topic. That's the main verse. If you forget everything else that you hear in this sermon, don't forget that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. But it's important, I think, as we begin to look at this passage, to recognise that the situation the Bible's talking about is not the same as ours. Now, obviously, in one sense. I'm sure you probably remember, because you heard me say this sort of thing before, the society in which the Bible was being written was not like ours. It was an autocracy, which means it was run by the guy at the top who demanded everybody should do what he said, and his footlings, his sort of people around him. It was an incredibly brutal society. The Romans were known for being probably the most effective army in the ancient world and the most brutal in the way in which they went about things. You stepped out of line and you were part of the Roman Empire, that was it. Your head was off straight away. No messing about. None of that. None of this namby-pamby Christian stuff. Not having that. That was the state of it. And as far as family life was concerned, well, it was a patriarchal society. It was one where the men were the boss. The problem is men being taller, fatter, bigger, fitter, well, not fitter necessarily, but stronger, tend to get their way very often. That's simply how it all worked out. But it worked out pretty badly. If you were a child, for instance, you came under what was called the potestas patria, which was the power of the father. And you were under that power until your father died. Okay? So you could be an adult person. And in fact, there are elements of the history of the Roman Empire in which a father would his son did something wrong, the father would try him and the father would execute him, because that was what you did. The Greeks were no better, to be perfectly honest. Their attitude to women was, we have wives to give us children and we have prostitutes for pleasure. That was basically how they went about it. All the time misusing, all the time exploiting people. And as far as, well, kids, you really did have to do what you were told, otherwise you were pretty much whipped into shape. And of course, the other thing was, it was a slave culture. That was how it worked. The Roman Empire would not have functioned without the slaves. And if you were a slave, well, you were the property of somebody else. They could do with you what you liked. They were described as living tools in some of the writings of the Greeks. And if a slave therefore became old or infirm, well, they were a tool and was no longer any use. What do you do with a tool that's no longer any use? Chuck it out. Just chuck it out. Get rid of them. Leave them on the roadside somewhere to die. You know, that's what you did. That was the sort. That was the society into which the Christian gospel came. And it's vitally important when we read the scriptures that we remember that background, because otherwise you'll start to interpret the scriptures in the way they were not meant to be interpreted. Because what the scriptures do is bring the peace of Christ into the setting. And that notion of peace is a lot bigger than just simply no warfare or anything like that. It really is about, well, I'll say it later on, but I'll say it now. It's about, there's the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And that's a word that means not just no war, it means goodness. It means wholeness. It means prosperity. It means things being in harmony. That's what the Bible means when it talks about peace. But anyway, let's have a look at the scriptures and see what it says. First of all, the first thing it talks about is peace actually in the church. And I think this is interesting. Because it's what it's saying is, what we do out in the world is affected by what we do here. Now, sometimes I do wonder about that. And I expect we all do. But it means simply, if we engage with God in worship, if we are genuinely learning of him, if we're singing songs and hymns and all the rest of it, it's changing us so that we can be like Christ in the world. And that's a really powerful thing. You know, we should be grateful for the folk who lead us in worship, because that's what they're doing for us. And they should realise what an important thing they're doing too, and do it properly, which they do, we're all happy to say. But we are here being drawn into the wider peace of Christ. So, notice Jesus promised peace in John's Gospel, chapter 14. You remember just before his death, he says, "Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. I'm giving you something different from that. This is not no conflict. This is what it means to become a whole person. At ease with the world, at ease with yourself, at ease with God." And that's what Jesus promised would actually happen. And in another part of the Bible, he has described himself as our peace. And that's in a particular setting where, you know, the world was broken in the old days between Jews and Gentiles, essentially. You know, those who were Jewish and those who were non-Jewish. And never the twain should meet, as it were. And it was a problem in the early church, because the early church arose as a Jewish sect, in a sense. And when Gentiles were brought into it, they were, you know, should they be there? There were questions raised. And the Apostle Paul particularly was saying, no, because in Christ, he is our peace. He's joined together all peoples. So that in him, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, or we might say black or white or any other colour. In Christ, you are one body. You're one person. You're accepting of one another. You're giving to one another. You're rejoicing in one another. You're encouraging one another. All that wonderful stuff that goes in being part of God's people. And as I said earlier on, it's this sense of wholeness, of well-being, of kindness, of patience, of self-control. And you'll recognise those are parts of the fruit of the Spirit as well. All of that is what it means to live in peace. As Joan was showing us, talking about kindness and so on. That's what it means to let Christ's peace rule in the church. And that's what we need to do. We need to let it happen. To accept one another, to listen to one another, to engage with one another, to offer worship together that honours God and says it's his will, it's his purpose we're about. Because that's what will actually create the atmosphere of peace in which we can then go out into the world. And so, we then have Christ's peace in the home. Now, this is where it all comes unstuck. But listen carefully, all right? Firstly, do you notice, and this bit applies to the different pairings. You see, there was, you know, wives and husbands, children and parents, slaves and free, different pairings. They're all mutual. In other words, the direction of what you do flows in both directions. Now, that's important. That wasn't the way of the world at that time. Husbands ruled their wives. Wives didn't have any say in it at all. Not at all. Children were governed by their parents. They had no say in it, not at all. Here, Paul is saying, wives do this, husbands do that. Children do this, parents do that. Slaves do this, bastards do that. And more especially, this isn't just mutual, it's reciprocal. They are giving something to each other. Do you notice that? It's not claiming I've got power over you. It's giving something. So, as far as the wives and husbands, love is the key. Think about it. What's the most important part of those two verses? What's the most difficult thing in those two verses? I know all the wives are thinking, well, it's trying to obey what on earth he's saying. No, it's not that. It's the love. Now, that was completely unique in the ancient world. That is absolutely mind-boggling that was said. And against that social background, where it was very unequal between men and women, and it isn't like that now, but where was it moving? Where was it all going? Where was the direction of thinking? It's surely going in the direction of love, wasn't it? Surely going in the direction of peace, of harmony, of wholeness, of one giving and one receiving, and all giving and all receiving. There's that peace thing is what's going on there. Once again, with children, the main point there is that they should not be discouraged. Give up the nagging, you know. I know that's hard. I really do find that one particularly hard. I don't know why Matthew's shaking his head at me at the moment. Because I have no parental control there at all. But certainly you do find, as a grandparent with grandchildren, it's a bit easier because you're not ultimately responsible, but they still annoy you and they still get on your nerves. So then that, but don't discourage, basically. What it says, look to the good of that person. Not, you're not about power. You're not about control. You're about caring. And once again, the move is towards peace, isn't it? It's in the direction of that which makes whole, that which blesses people, that which encourages people. And that's the direction that needs to be taken today. And then lastly, Christ's peace in the workplace or in the wider world. Now, this is interesting because this is by far the biggest chunk. I don't know if you noticed as it's being read, this is the biggest chunk. I suspect this was quite an issue in the Colossian church. There was, because this is something that had never happened before, where masters and slaves could actually come together on a sort of equal basis. We know, in fact, of early churches where the leaders in the church were slaves and the masters were people, as it were, sitting in the pew, if they had any, which they didn't, but you know what I mean. It somehow brought people from completely different social settings and areas of control together, to be together, to work together, to accept one another as being now in Christ. Now, that's going to create a problem or two, frankly, isn't it? If you just, you know, think about the world now, things don't just happen overnight. Look at the church at Corinth. You read the Corinthian letters. There was obviously a lot of trouble going on there about having meals and leaving people out and some getting fed and others going hungry. That's probably a picture of them trying to get this social thing together. So it's clearly an important thing that workers and masters got something together. What again did they do? The workers, be honest, show integrity, do what you're supposed to do. Let's face it. If you were a slave in ancient Rome, would you have always done everything your master wanted, or would you try to get away with a thing or two? I think we would have all tried to get away with a thing or two. There would have been, and that's partly why the thing was so harsh and controlling, because people would react against the control, try and get a bit of power themselves and make off with a few bits and pieces and what's and so on. And it would not be a good atmosphere, would it? It would not be a wholesome set of relationships. But Paul says, now come on, in Christ, let's have a bit of honesty. Do what you... Because you are people, you slaves, you are not just slaves. You are the children of God in Jesus Christ. You have a new status. And that status means that, yes, you'll work well. You'll do what's right. You'll behave in the right sort of way, as it were. You will be trustworthy. You will do your job. But masters were also called out. They were told that they had to be fair in what they did. They had to be kindly in what they did. And they had to remember they've got a boss as well. They've got a boss in heaven. They are not the ultimate power. There's a lot going on with power in here, isn't there, when you think about it? And Paul was keen to say, look, you must treat people fairly. No beating people up. No starving them. No kicking them out when they were too old to do anything. You must be people who, once again, are moving towards peace. That all relationships need to move towards what we've already seen about the wholesomeness, the integrity, the truth, the justice, the joy, really. And Paul's very clear that this is something that for those who are reading his, who are hearing the lesson read to them, as it were, hearing that, that they are meant to be doing this in the Lord. Because that's why it's happening. With him, there are no favourites. There are no people who matter more than others. There are only children, beloved children, who are in Jesus Christ. And if you're in Jesus Christ, you are part of the beloved. You are loved by God. And out of that, relationships become a rather different thing, don't they? When it comes to it, against the background of the ancient world. And so it must be for us too, really. What we're called to do when we go out into the world, or in our homes, or in our families, or in our workplaces, or the places we have leisure, or what we enjoy doing, we're looking for peace. We're looking for peace. We don't want to necessarily be in control. We want to show God's love. We need to be kind people. We look for integrity. We'll behave properly. We're not going to go around cheating people. And we'll stand up for people who are having problems, who are being pushed down maybe. And that's an important thing to do. But we won't do it because we're wanting somehow to control things. We're doing it because we're doing it in the Lord. It's how Jesus would behave. It's what he wants. And we are people in what we do who are actually going to show the reality of Jesus Christ. And the completely amazing community that he is calling people into, to be in. For it's only in him that that peace that we've spoken about is going to be really found. It's only in him that we can be sure that we're going to be able to be what we are meant to be and do what we are meant to do. So Jesus is our peace, as well as the one who gives us that peace, wherever it is going to be. And so we get to the point where the last hymn is sung and we all go up. But you know, we don't do that anymore, do we? We need to do something before to prepare ourselves in a better way. You've heard me, you will forget most of what I've been saying. But here are the verses that are the important ones. And what we're going to do now, we're just going to be quiet for a minute. We're going to do a lectio. You know, I've done this before, so everybody knows what I mean. But I'm going to explain it again. This is simply a way of reading the Bible. It's not just letting our heads have it, but we're trying to get it into our hearts. And simply, we'll read it. I'll read it a couple of times. Once straightforward, once a bit slower. And in the slower one, each of us will be simply listening for what God's underlining for us. Now, the last time I did this, two people came up to me and said, there were several things he was underlining for me there. Now, can I just suggest, just look for one, all right? Just look for the most important one, because that's doable. That's taking the nearest edge, okay? That's grabbing hold of a bit we can do something about. So don't, in other words, don't feel guilty or anything like that, but just what is actually coming out to you that God's wanting to do in your heart and mind, maybe in your life at home or in your work. Okay? And we'll simply have a quiet time to reflect on that, to chew those thoughts over, whatever it may, it's maybe a word, maybe a phrase, and let it sink from our heads to our hearts. Okay? And so we will be better equipped to be what we are being called to be people of peace, to do those things that are what Jesus wants. Is that okay? Is that understood? Okay, right. You may want to just sit yourself, make yourselves feel comfortable. You might want to close your eyes and just listen, or you might want to look at the screen. Either is perfectly acceptable. So do whatever is helpful to you. So I'll read the passage first of all. Lord, please help us as we look at your word in a slightly different way. May it speak to each of us individually as we have need. Please, Lord, we ask this knowing that you hear us, and thank you for acting for us. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.